Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I need it. Amen. We continue through Mark now, and some of you may have had a translation that said in verse 41, Jesus was indignant, and Pastor read that Jesus had compassion on him. Compassion's a better interpretation for that word, because it's a deep-rooted feeling in the guts is what they're talking about. And that's what Jesus felt for the man, all right? It wasn't that he was indignant, but the idea is that it was that powerful of a feeling, okay, that it might have appeared as if he was indignant. But we take a closer look at the text. It says, a man with leprosy came to him. Now, leprosy was a terrible disease, Hansen's disease. It's curable nowadays, although it's pretty common in third world nations. It affected people physically, but also socially, emotionally, and spiritually. Bob Utley writes, Judaism saw leprosy as an illness inflicted by God. By the way, don't we still have that today? Don't people say, why did God do that to me, right? Contact with the leper would make one ceremonially unclean. This disease meant total social alienation. It is culturally surprising that this socially ostracized person approached Jesus and that Jesus would touch him. He was not doubting Jesus' power, but Jesus' desire to act. Actually, there were three miracles here, all right? The first miracle is that this leper even went to Jesus. Because someone who had leprosy was supposed to stay away from everybody, and especially a rabbi. So the first miracle is that the Lord moved this leper to go to Jesus. The second miracle is Jesus received the leper, all right? No rabbi at that time would want to be touched by a leper or be close to one, because they'd be ceremonially unclean. Then they would have to go to the temple to offer a sacrifice in order to be made clean. But Jesus doesn't have a problem. He accepts him, right? He receives him. And the third miracle, actually maybe this is third and fourth, Jesus touched him to touch someone who's unclean, but then he healed him. So there's actually three or four miracles here. But do you see the courage of the leper to take the necessary steps to present himself to Jesus? Can you imagine? He's off in the back. He's got to work his way through the crowd. And imagine what abuse he went through when the people saw him coming, okay? But he worked his way through the crowd to see Jesus. What do you think the man was thinking? He wanted to be healed, absolutely, all right? He thought Jesus could do it if he wanted to, right? He had fear, right? And he had to be thinking, imagine he's walking through the people and they're going, wow, stay away from me, you know? So he may have had doubts that, am I worthy? How can I come forward? I'm a leper. God has cursed me. But he had faith that overcame that. That's correct, okay? Do we have the same doubts when we come to Jesus for something? Absolutely, right? And we have a tendency, I'm going to touch on this more than once today, we have a tendency to think God's grace is for other people, but not necessarily for me, all right? Charles Spurgeon writes, Dr. Thompson, in his famous work, The Land and the Book, speaks of lepers in the East and says, the hair falls from the head and eyebrows, the nails loosen, decay, and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes shrink up and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed and the teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. The disease turns a man to a mass of loathsomeness. Say that three times fast. A walking pile of pest. Leprosy is nothing better than a horrible and lingering death. It would take up to 10 years sometimes for someone to die from this disease, okay? The leper in the narrative before us had sad personal experience of this, and yet he believed that Jesus could cleanse him. Splendid faith. All things are possible to the Savior God. and all things are possible to him that believes. Do we believe all things are possible for Jesus? Absolutely. And if not, what are we waiting for? Right? He's here. He's available, right? So the leper begged him on his knees and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So the leper doesn't doubt that Jesus has the power to cleanse him. Matthew Henry says, "With great humility, this leper came beseeching him and kneeling down to him, whether giving divine honor to him as God or rather a less degree of respect as a great prophet." It teaches us that those who would receive grace and mercy from Christ must ascribe honor and glory to Christ and approach to him with humility and reverence, with a firm belief in his power. And that's what's missing, okay? We come forward with reverence and say, "Yes, you are God. And if you will please, if you want to, I know you can make me well, but if you desire to, if you don't, that's fine too. I understand you're busy, okay?" No, with a firm understanding that he has the power to heal and he wants to heal. Amen? And we saw that last week with Pastor Perry, right? For those of you who were here, he came up here because of his allergies. And by the way, if you're suffering from allergies, don't go to NASCAR, okay? But he went to NASCAR, and he came in here, and it looked like Stephen and Sebastian beat him up, okay? They're bigger than you now, Pastor. He literally had black eyes. They were itchy and watering. He could hardly talk. And he was continually wiping his face. And he was scheduled to preach. So I went up to him and I said, "Pastor, can you preach? If not, I'll preach." And he said, "No, it's okay. I got this." "No, I got this." I said, "Okay." So what we did is we laid on hands and prayed for him. All right. And then as he was standing here preaching, do you remember what happened? His eyes, first his right one and then his left one, right? And his voice came back. Firm faith in the power of Jesus Christ to heal, okay? Alright? Was that necessarily Pastor Rick? But it was somebody out there, alright? Alright? But Jesus was here and he healed him, right? So praise be to God, but you have to have a firm faith knowing that Jesus can do that. And what seems impossible for Christ or impossible for us is not impossible for Jesus, all right? Okay, let's take a look. Where am I at? Or do we believe it is for others, not for... That's the other thing I wanted to point out. People think it's not for us. It would have been very easy for us last week to say, "Well, we'll just let Pastor Perry struggle through this," okay? That might have been kind of fun. Okay. That's my dark side coming out, okay? All right. But what makes us think we're so special that Jesus can't help us?
We're not special.
Do we think we're so bad and our sins are so terrible or else our illness is so bad that Jesus won't heal us? He'll heal a leper. He'll heal a leper. He'll raise a dead person. He'll heal Pastor Perry. But he won't heal me. Because I'm special. No. But do you see what we do? You know, and I got that today from Pastor Ken Grothy, all right? But we point at ourselves as being special beyond the reach of God's love. Or we feel that way. And we shouldn't. Okay, because none of us are. Amen? Spurgeon writes, "So if you, dear friend, cannot pray a prayer that is full of faith, prayer one that has at least some faith in it. If you cannot go as far as some do, go as far as you can. I have often told you to bless God for moonlight, and then He will give you sunlight. But for anyone to say, 'I will not pray at all because I cannot pray as I would like to pray,' is a very foolish thing. Say what you can, even as this poor leper said to Jesus, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' The inward impression of many a sinner when he fears that there is no mercy and no help for him because there is no hope, they plunge deeper yet deeper into the slough of sin and despair. Oh, that you might be delivered from that false idea. Mercy still rules the hour. Mercy still rules the hour. There is hope while Jesus sends His gospel to you and bids you to repent. So mercy rules the hour here, right? And if we're willing to repent and turn to Him, Jesus will heal us. And He'll heal us completely, no matter what it is, all right? Recently, as you know, every Friday I go to the show. That's my day off is Friday, all right? But I've taken a show and it's kind of like my therapy. And that probably explains a lot about me, all right? But I saw a movie, and write this name down, Do You Believe? It's not shown in all the movies, it's a Christian movie, all right? And I'm not going to tell you all about it, but this is a dynamite movie. There's one scene in there where there's two people who are ready to cash it in. A young man and a young woman. The young man was in the military, and he can't get over what happened in Afghanistan, and the young woman has problems with her family. So anyway, they go to this bridge. They don't know each other, but they both go to the same bridge to jump off. Do you see how God works? Okay? And one's on one side and one's on the other. And they get to talking. All right? And they go out and have a coffee, and then I'm just going to leave it there. All right? But do you see God's plan? All right? And His point. And when everything is hopeless, whether it's relationships, whether it's a disease, whether it's an addiction, whether it's bad sexual relations, whether homosexual or heterosexual, okay? Nothing is too big for the love of Christ. Amen? There's always hope for us and our loved ones. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And I didn't think that up, all right? That's right out of the Scriptures. Let's read that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's times when all is very dark in our lives, but then the glimmer of moonlight appears. And if we take action and seek Jesus as this leopard did, soon Jesus will give us sunlight. Have you ever been where it's just like you're in the moonlight? And you're almost at the bottom. And then you turn to Jesus, and it's daybreak. And there's sunlight. Has that ever happened to you in your life? Okay? Happened to me 30 years ago, all right, when I quit drinking. How about you, Gammy? Yeah, with all you've been through. But I'm thinking recently with the job. 3 years, living in the moonlight, right? And then one day she gets the perfect job for her, and she's in the sunlight, all right? That's how it works, right? Amen? And I look out there, and I see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I see what you've been through, Charles, and Daryl, and Jerry, okay? Nina, Gilbert, I see what we've all been through. Janelle, Sandy, Seal. We've all been in Tina. We've been in the moonlight, right? And it seems like you can't see real clearly, right? But you know there's still light there, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, it's dawn. And praise be to God for the dawn. Amen? Verse 41 to 42, deeply moved. I like this translation better. It's from the Message. Jesus was deeply moved. By the way, this is the same word when Jesus had compassion on the crowds, okay? Jesus put out His hand and touched him and said, I want to be clean. Man, two words. Didn't he have to pray longer than that? I guess not, right? This is another thing that cracks me up with Christians. They feel prayers have to be long. Otherwise, there will be no healing or anything. Did I have a big, elaborate prayer when we prayed for Pastor Perry last week? No. All right? But be clean. All right? But Jesus feels deep compassion for the man. But that was the leper. And how could you not have compassion on a leper? Does Jesus feel compassion for us, though? Well, I think maybe you guys, but not me. Okay. Yeah, I'm special. Yeah. And Pastor Robin said, that's for sure. Okay. And people will say that. But Pastor, you're a pastor. God will listen to you. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I'm a drunk. I'm a drunk. Okay. 30 years ago, the Lord healed me. All right. All right. So God is there for us. We just have to come like the leper did. Because Jesus has the desire, just as He had the desire to heal the leper, He has the desire to answer our prayers. Amen? But Jesus breaks the religious rules. He touches a leper. Heaven forbid, right? Don't ever do that when you're wearing a collar, Pastor. Okay. Don't have to worry about that. You don't wear a collar. Yeah, that's right. Do we let religious rules get in the way? Sometimes, yeah. All right. We shouldn't, right? There's other churches where if I would have said, we're going to lay on hands and pray for Pastor before he preaches, they would have said, that is way out of line. You're going to have to talk to the worship committee. All right. We don't have a worship committee, so that's a good thing. All right. But don't let religion get in the way of our relationship with Christ and who we are, okay? Amen? Spurgeon says, if you or I were to touch a leper, his uncleanliness would at once be communicated to us. But when Christ touches a leper, his cleanliness is communicated to the leper. Oh, how high our blessed Lord stands above us. When we have to deal with certain peculiarity, sad cases, we have to go to the work with much earnest prayer that we ourselves may not be contaminated by contact with gross sinners. But Christ has such a virtue in Himself that He can even touch the fevered and leprous and yet sustain no injury. When Jesus touches the unclean and the unholy, it does not infect Him, but He makes the person clean and holy. And why is that? Because He is holy. He is God, right? Now, we're not God. But are we resistant to reach out and touch what society calls unclean and unholy? People are amazed that we go into the jails, you know? And we shake their hands. And we're not supposed to shake their hands, but we shake their hands anyway. It's amazing. It's just amazing how our society sets up boundaries and how our culture tries to tell us what is clean and what is unclean. All right? But we say, Pastor, that was in ancient times. Or that is only for other people. But surely not for me. How or why would Jesus heal or save me? Because He loves us, each and every one of us. And we have to realize that He's not just here for Laurel or Paula or Bruce or Austin. He's here for me. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is here for you. And He's here today. All right? If you're hurting, if you need healing, or someone you know needs healing, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is, He is here. And He will hear you. Amen? Spurgeon says once again, the true faith believes for itself first and then for others. Oh, I know some of you are saying, I believe that Jesus can save my brother. I believe that He can save the vilest of the vile. If I heard that He had saved the biggest drunkard in the southward, I should not wonder. Can you believe all this and yet fear that He cannot save you? This is strange inconsistency. If He heals another man's leprosy, can He not heal your leprosy? If one drunkard is saved, Pastor Rick, why not another? If in one man a passionate temper is subdued, why not in another? If lust and covetousness and lying and pride have been cured in many men, why not in you? Do you see? We feel we're special in a bad sense, right? That Jesus can help us. But brothers and sisters, I'm here today to tell you Jesus can help you. And He's here, and He wants to. Amen? Yes. Pray for the faith. Right. And that's where the leper started, right? And does the faith come from us? No, it's that spark. Like we saw, we should have sang that song 2 weeks ago, okay? When I preached about the spark, okay? It's the spark of the Holy Spirit that starts it, right? Jesus came to save the lost. He came to save you and me. Verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Why didn't Jesus want this man to tell others about his healing? We don't know. We know that this is the messianic secret. That's what it's called. Bob Yeadley says, literally this is snorted, which means an inarticulate groan. This reflects Mark's messianic secret. The gospel was not yet finished, and the message was still incomplete. Jesus did not want to be known as a miracle worker. This is the same strong word used of the Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness. So he really didn't want the man to tell, right? So that man is probably in hell now, right? No, I don't think so. Okay. Verse 45. Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Matthew Henry says the leper ought to have observed his orders, yet no doubt it was with a good design that he proclaimed the cure. And it had no other ill effect than that it increased the multitudes which followed Christ to that degree, that he could no more openly enter into the city, not upon the account of persecution. There was no danger of that yet, but because the crowd was so great that the streets would not hold him, which obliged him to go into desert places, to a mountain, to the seaside. So although the man clearly disobeyed Christ, after all, how could he keep silent? Imagine if you had leprosy, your fingers are falling off, and this man heals you. I'd be dancing, all right? And I'm not a dancer, okay? Just ask my wife, okay? But I wish we were as excited and passionate about Jesus as this man. Would we describe ourselves as excited for Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, we got Martha and we got Gammy, okay? There's two, all right? And Harold. Harold's not here today, but do people look at you funny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? But I thank God for you, okay? For somebody who's not afraid to raise their hands and scream, thank you, Jesus.
Thank
all right?
Jesus.
Amen. All right? Once again, Spurgeon writes, indifference to spiritual things is the sin of the age. Men are hard of heart about eternal realities. An awful apathy is upon the multitude. Surely, madness is in men's hearts. Men do not wish to be saved from doing evil. And isn't that the truth if we look at our culture? Who's the crazy ones? They say we are, right? Because they want to continue doing what they're doing, right? They love the ways and wages of iniquity. They love their sins. And all sin is destructive. Not just spiritually. I mean physically, mentally, emotionally. All sin is destructive. That's why God doesn't want us to do it, all right? They would like to go to heaven, but they must have their drunken frolics on the road. They would very well like to be saved from hell, but not from the sin which is the cause of it. Yeah. And the pastors were talking today. Recently we worshiped at a church where they didn't say hell in the creed. You know why that is? People don't want to talk about hell. If you don't talk about it, then it doesn't exist, right? Not in your mind, but it does, right? Their notion of salvation is not to be saved from the love of evil and to be made pure and clean, but that is God's meaning when He speaks of salvation. How can they hope to be the slaves of sin, yet at the same time be free? Remember, we're living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And if you're living in a relationship with Christ, then the sins will drop off, right? Can you live in a relationship with Christ and knowingly continue to sin? It's contradictory, right? Because the fact that you're living in that relationship with Him, you don't want anything to come in between you and Christ, right? But what they're saying is, I want to live my life my way and do what I want, and Jesus will always be there for me. Well, yes, He'll always be there for you. But there's going to come a time when time runs out, right? And we're going to get exactly what we want. We lived our lives separated from Him, we'll live our eternity separated from Him. And it's not His choice, it's ours. Amen? I'm not supposed to preach that. I'm supposed to just preach fluff, okay? No fluff, okay? Can we believe in Jesus and live as we want and still expect to be saved? No. No. Obedience, okay? Christ wants our obedience. And it doesn't matter whether you're suffering from alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, homosexuality, whatever the sin is, greed, slander. We can't persist in that and figure that we're pleasing God. The Bible tells us what to do in order to please God, right? And this is completely contrary to our culture, right? Because our culture says we got rights. Do what you want. Be free, right? Is there any freedom in our culture? When we're in charge, is that freedom? The only way we experience freedom is in Jesus Christ, right? Spurgeon finishes, I'm going to finish with this quote. Now, poor soul, you that are full of guilt and hardened in sin, and yet anxious to be healed. And you know, I think subconsciously these people want to be healed. They want to hear the truth. They want to know, what can I do so that I can change and get out of the suffering, okay? Look straight away to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is here now. In the preaching of the gospel, He is with us always. With the eyes of your mind, behold Him, for He beholds you. You know that He lives even though you see Him not. Believe in this living Jesus. Believe for perfect cleansing. Cry to Him, worship Him, adore Him, trust Him. He is very God of very God. Bow before Him and cast yourself upon His mercy. Amen. So are we ready to cast ourselves upon the mercy of Jesus as the leper did? And I don't care what you're going through, okay? Jesus doesn't care what you're going through. If we turn to Him and say, Lord, I need You. I want You in my life. He is here. We saw it last week when He healed Pastor Perry, right? He is here. So no matter what you're dealing with, whether it's cancer, unemployment, sins that linger on, addictions, He is here. And He's just waiting for us to say, Lord, if You will, heal me. And that's going to be our prayer today. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know You're here. We feel Your presence and Your power. And we cry, Lord, if You will, heal me. Amen.